You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Made it work via the wonders of Skype, who I had knew nothing about at the time. But we made it work, save a couple glitches. But it's good to be back in the studio. It's what I've known as home for 15 years of 3 to 4, largely 3 to 4. And while it feels a bit strange, get yourself reacquainted with all the volume levels and the whatnot, it feels really good. There's something to be said for being able to see your co-host face-to-face. And whether he raises his eyebrows or says, wait a minute, I've got something to say there, there's something to be said for that. So may not matter to you out there a whole lot, but it is very nice to be back in the studio and see a bunch of old friends actually in the hallway. Visited with Todd a little bit, hadn't seen him forever. And Loretta, Director of First Impressions, Kelly and Lambeau, and great to see all them again. I mentioned Buttons sitting in with me again, as he does a lot of Fridays, at least in the summertime. And unless you have been away from local programming, you know this is his last day as a full-time producer on local programming, the Gym Class and the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. More on that later. Buttons, how you feeling?
I'm feeling not too bad. It finally sunk in this morning when I got into the building.
Yeah?
That today was my last day. And it's rough. I went up to Loretta this morning, and I told her good morning like I usually do. And from there, it hit me that today was the last day that I'll be in the building close to full time.
I'm sorry I didn't bring cookies, as you and Ash did. I didn't bear any gifts. I just thought my presence, your chance to see my ugly face one last time in an official capacity would be good enough. I hope that's the case.
It really is. It's been difficult the past 15 months with you at home, and with the electronics, you always have some sort of issue going on. And not having you here, it gets rough sometimes, especially making those promos.
Yeah.
It's awful. But we powered through it for 15 months, and you're finally back here, and it sounds like that Ben, who's going to fill in for the time being, is going to have a pretty good time with you back in here, at least on Fridays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking forward to working with Ben, and of course we're going to miss you, but Ben will be on board. We'll work with him next Friday. By the way, the Gym Class, presented now by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Great to have DuPaco on the board. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to DuPaco.com, DuPaco.com. I think a pretty good show on hand today. We're going to shortly bring you up to date on what's going on at the U.S. Open Golf Championships in San Diego. At Torrey Pines. Also going to have a bit of a discussion on my Chicago Bears and whether they are angling to move out of Soldier Field and into Arlington Heights, about 35 miles away to the northwest. We'll get into that as well, and we'll have an Emo's Hideaway scoreboard. And the back half of the show, we're going to have a Friday topic, which is always popular on the text line, in recognition of Father's Day on Sunday. We're going to toss around most memorable sports moments with your father. And I think we'll probably get a good cross-section of memories in that regard. But looking forward to that discussion. 3:10 today on the Gym Class. Okay, let's get to the U.S. Open being held at Torrey Pines in San Diego, as mentioned. Zach Johnson, the Cedar Rapidian, two-time major winner, and Carson Shockey, who qualified to get into this tournament. He, the former star at the University of Iowa, both on the course right now. They had to come back this morning because of the early fog in Thursday's first round. Zach completed his first round in plus 475. Carson Shockey finished at plus 576. Neither will be around on the weekend, barring something miraculous. Zach Johnson sits playing his last hole of the day, 7 over par for the tournament, plus 3 in the day. Really got hurt by, he played his the back nine first and then played 1, which he made a double bogey on, and 2 he made a bogey on. He was 1 under par the rest of the 9, but that and what he did in the first round, very damaging to his hopes of making the cut. As far as Carson Shockey goes, he is 6 over on the day through 14 holes. He stands at plus 11, well outside the cut line both. The cut line right now projected to be plus 4. Story of the day right now is a guy named Richard Bland, a 48-year-old Englishman who has done relatively nothing in his career. He's won one European Tour event, that coming a month ago. But he shot a 4-under par 67 today and leads the tournament at minus 5. Now, many players, including contenders, have not even started their second round at the tournament. But right now, Richard Bland, one stroke ahead of Russell Henley and 2 clear of Bubba Watson. Look at Bubba, minus 4 on the day. He's in the clubhouse. John Rahm at minus 3. Louis Oosthuizen at minus 3. Francesco Molinari and Rafa Cabrera-Bello, they are at minus 3 but have not yet begun their second round. So unfortunate for Zach and Carson Shockey, really it's going to be an interesting story to see what John Bland can do in his final couple rounds, perhaps leading the tournament going into the third round. By the way, Zach Johnson has completed his second round. He birdied his last hole, a par 5, so he is plus 6. Going to be a couple shots outside the cut line. So, Buttons, what player are you going to have in contention to watch the U.S. Open? Do you have a favorite? Tiger, obviously, not there. Phil, kind of out of contention right now. Does a guy like Bubba Watson intrigue you? John Rahm coming off COVID quarantine. I don't know how big a golf fan you are, but what would it take for you to tune in?
He intrigues me for the story. Why I am watching is actually Russell Henley.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I don't know. There's just something about him that I like.
Well, he's certainly off to a good start, shooting 400 par 67
yeah,
in the first round and has not begun his second round. So,
and, you know, there's another golfer that hasn't really done a whole lot yet.
True. It's only the second time he had the lead at any round of a major. Certainly a capable player, but not one you would have picked out of the chute. By the way, this John Bland character, I've read anywhere from him being a 400-to-1 to 750-to-1 betting choice before the tournament. And now he's down to 18-to-1, I believe. So don't tell me you put any dough on John Bland to start the tournament. I need proof to see that.
For $12 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody could see that coming, especially with the career that he's had so far. I mean, he started off really gaining some sort of prominence in the late 90s, but hasn't really done a whole lot, at least in the U.S. since then.
3:15 on the Gym Class today. Mark Dukes and Buttons along with you today. Scott Unash preparing for Friday night racing at Hawkeye Downs. Should be a great night out there as well for the Cedar Rapids Colonels, coming up a big 12-4 victory last night over the South Bend Cubs. That series continues tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. I know you saw the story, Buttons, and I don't know what to make of it at this point, but the bottom line is the Chicago Bears have submitted a bid to purchase the Arlington Racetrack in Arlington Heights. It is owned by Churchill Downs. Bids were cut off a couple days ago. There have been multiple bids for that property. But the Bears have acknowledged putting in a bid to purchase this property and explore the feasibility of developing a stadium on that property and leaving Soldier Field. Soldier Field, the oldest stadium in the NFL, built in 1924, although the Bears did not use it full-time until about 1970. It served a variety of different purposes. In fact, nobody needs to know this, but I'm going to throw it at my mom. An accomplished accordion player performed at Soldier Field. I have pictures to prove it.
On the accordion?
That. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
It's better than my family history.
Before the Bears even started playing. Actually, the Chicago Cardinals, I think, played there first. Yep. Cardinals moved to St. Louis, and then the Bears went to Soldier Field full-time. But the Bears have a lease with Soldier Field to play there until 2033.
And it's a beautiful stadium.
You know, I haven't been there in a while, but it's one of those iconic venues.
Right.
You walk in, see the pillars. It's a tremendous same thing with Lambeau Field.
Yep.
In Green Bay, where I've only been a couple different times, but they're iconic stadiums. Nowadays, you have, you know, the Jerry Worlds and whatnot being built, and they just don't have as much history as Soldier Field. Now, are the Bears really angling to make a move in the future, distant or otherwise? Should they? 319-366-1600. In thinking about this, I thought about Lambeau Field because it's in the same division as the Bears. The franchises have been around for quite some time. A big difference between the two, despite one-loss records, is the capacity. Soldier Field only holds north of 61,000 fans, and it has no place to expand on the seating. Lambeau Field, and I don't know why I didn't know this, but it seats 81,000 people.
Yeah.
And it has a mile-long waiting list for season tickets. I mean, that nobody in the NFL or maybe any other franchise can say that. That's one big difference between the two stadiums. Lambeau Field, I think, was built in the 50s, and the Packers really didn't start using it full-time until about the same time the Bears did Soldier Field. And actually, I don't expect you to remember this, Buttons, but at one time the Packers played a game or two in Milwaukee each year, and that was kind of unique for at least Milwaukeeans. But what do you think out there? Do you think the Bears should move? Will move? I hope it doesn't, but there's a reason that the ownership has put in a bid about 20 years after spending $690 million on a renovation.
It's a lot of money. But there's nowhere to expand seating. I think that's the big issue right now, is they have the least amount of seating.
But if you look at the capacities of NFL stadiums, most of them are between 65 and 70,000.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot different than Soldier Field. Of course, as an ownership group, you'd like to get maybe 10,000 more people in the stadium, but it's not possible. You know, are you going to build a stadium a capacity of 80,000? You'd probably fill it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you're right downtown, a stone's throw from Lake Michigan. Those pillars at Soldier Field, walking around and seeing the history of the outside of the stadium, and I just hope it doesn't go away. I mean, would Cub fans want a new stadium?
No.
And leave Wrigley Field?
No, because of the history. Yeah. I mean, that's really the main point here is just the history of the stadium itself. The only way that I could see them expanding is if they had this tremendous record in the next 13 seasons. But I don't know their season ticket holders, and I don't know how long the waiting list is for that. If it would be worthwhile to actually expand the seating for season tickets.
I don't know that for a fact either. All I know is the legendary stories of people being on the Lambeau or Green Bay Packers season ticket list for years and years and years. 319-366-1600, talking about the Bears. Will they, should they leave Soldier Field in the near or distant future? Matt in Fairfax weighing in. Soldier Field is great, but it seats the fewest in the league. Imagine adding 12 to 15,000 seats. It's sadly about money. 6429, they are just trying to hold up the state and local governments to either pay for a new stadium or to renovate Soldier Field again. I believe the state is still paying for the last one. But after Virginia McCaskey passes away, all bets are off, especially if the heirs decide to sell the team. I think that's quite likely that after she is gone, that team will be sold. I have to believe it will be. Adam on the text line, I once asked Roger Goodell once why Iowa couldn't have an NFL team. He said he couldn't do it because then Illinois would want one. That's an old standby, Adam. Good job. John on the text line, I hope they leave. The crime in Chicago is out of control. Taxes are out of control. And it's the worst-run city in the country. And the mayor is a whack job. And you noted before the show what Lori Lightfoot, the mayor, had to say about this whole situation. She said, I'll let you read it or paraphrase it, Buttons, but she said the team ought to concentrate on beating the Packers, right?
Yep, that was pretty much what she said, and it was a fantastic comeback for that. I can't find the exact article anymore, but yeah, they need to have a better record and beat the Packers in order for them to move.
I'm on board with that.
Yeah, I mean,
beat the Packers more. I'm all on board with that.
Listen, I have nothing against the Bears. I have everything against the Packers.
Why is that?
It's an old family thing where, you know, we have our Cowboys fans, which I am, and then half the family are Bears fans, but then we all come together against the Packers.
Interesting. I don't hate the Packers. In fact, truth be known, I liked the Packers for a couple years before I turned to the Bears. And that's because of their early success with Bart Starr and the famous block Jerry Kramer made at right guard, winning a couple Super Bowls early. I was on board early with the Packers, but I quickly came to my senses.
My logical dislike for the Packers comes... Okay, it's not logical at all because the Packers are actually a decent team. I'm a Cowboys fan, and I'm rooting for the Cowboys. So I don't have anything logical against the Packers, but it's just one of those family things where, you know, your whole family hates the Packers. That's how you grew up.
Now, you're a Midwest guy, right?
Right.
What made you hop on board with the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, a lot of my family is from Dallas.
Okay.
Yeah.
That explains things.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I just thought about this while we're still talking about Chicago. If they decide to move to Arlington in 13 seasons, that's two stadiums that are in Arlington. Because AT&T, the home of the Dallas Cowboys, is in Arlington, Texas.
Uh-huh.
So there we go.
A sidebar to this is that with Arlington racetrack closing, the horse racing industry in Illinois is going downhill fast. I mean, that's an iconic raceway, but we'll see what happens. I mean, again, the Bears have a lease to through 2033. You know, the renovations that were made 20 years ago to the tune of almost $700 million, are they outdated now? Let's go ahead and stay at Soldier Field. I hope the Bears don't win this bid, but I guarantee you they are in the ear of the Churchill Downs folks that own Arlington Raceway, right?
Right. So what's going to happen with Soldier Field?
That's a good question.
It's just so iconic and historic that you have to think that something's going to happen.
Getting the cart ahead of the horse a little bit here, but it's a legitimate question.
Right.
Should the Bears leave Soldier Field? I mean, frankly, whatever. I mean, you're playing 8 games a year
right.
in one venue.
Right.
You've got to make it a multi-purpose facility, don't you?
You do.
And in Chicago, you can't have much going on in the wintertime at Soldier Field.
Right.
I mean, Jerry World, you can do all kinds of things year-round, right?
Right.
And have.
I've been there for multiple events, and Mr. Jones keeps a tight-notch ship up there, or down there.
3:27 heading for our first break, but I want to throw this out real quick before we get to the back half and tackle our topic, but Shohei Ohtani announcing he's going to be part of the Home Run Derby this year at the Major League All-Star Game. It's been met with a wild celebration, I think. The guy has 19 home runs on the year, and it's setting up for what could be an incredible Home Run Derby. I haven't seen any other finalists named yet, but imagine if a Vlad Guerrero Jr. gets in it, or Fernando Tatis, Ronald Acuna Jr., on and on and on. I know the Cub fans want Javi Baez in it. He'd be entertaining. I mean, this could be an epic Home Run Derby.
It could. I did not see this story today. I've been kind of off social media for the remainder of the day, so I'm excited now. And I'm not usually a big one to watch the Derby.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see the total lineup, but Ohtani announcing he's going to participate in it this year. Right now, we need to get the Emil's scoreboard update before we take our first break. It is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, located on Glenbrook Drive Southeast near Lindale Mall. Emil's open now Monday through Saturday. Also offer online ordering, curbside carryout, and delivery at Emil's Hideaway. Big menu, unlike a big menu for our scoreboard today, as there is no action in Major League Baseball right now. The Twins and the Rangers get together tonight. First of a 3-game set. 6:30, the pregame on 107.5 FM. By the way, sorry to report that we will have no NBA action for you tonight, despite the fact there are two series that could be wrapped up, Philadelphia and Atlanta. Atlanta leading 3-2 in that matchup. And the Clippers have a 3-2 edge on Utah. Also, the NHL, Vegas and Montreal get together in Game 3. That series tied up 1-1. And if you paid any attention last night in the Major League Baseball, the Yankees turned their second triple play of the year. And the first time in Major League history, a 1-3-6-2-5-6 triple play was recorded. Never happened in Major League Baseball history. If you're scoring at home, that's pitcher to first base to shortstop to catcher to third base to shortstop. 1-2-3, end of inning. Let's get to a break. Come back. We'll throw around our topic question right after this.
We know that we can count on Topaco to help us reach our dreams. They're always there for us. After my father had passed away, I'd gotten some of the guns. It just brought back memories of us going hunting Christmas morning, Thanksgiving morning. That was just time that I wished I had more of. You reflect on things and wished you could have done things different. I had time and I just completely took them apart. It just really intrigued me how the parts all worked together and everything. I enjoyed it. Then that's when I started looking into gunsmithing schools.
Usually I'm the one with the dream and then he somehow makes it happen. So I called DePaco and I got a hold of Cassie, and she found a way to make it happen. DePaco has always been there for us, so as soon as we got the loan, I knew that our future was going to go down a different path.
I think you'd be very impressed that I chose to go this route.
Your money, for good. Learn more at DePaco.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
There's never been a better time to find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. Right now, new customers have a chance to win $100 in free bets when they place a $1 moneyline wager on any NBA playoff game. If either team hits a three-pointer in the game, you'll win $100 regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use bonus code HANSON100, HANSON100, when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. Get ready to turn the playoffs into payoffs. Sign up now and discover BetMGM's parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code HANSON100, Hanson with an O, to win $100 in free bets if either team hits a three in any NBA playoff game. It's always showtime at BetMGM. New customer offer paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older. Iowa only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Open up to outdoor living. If you're adding on or redoing a deck, take it up a notch with stylish patio doors. Alexander Lumber has an excellent selection. From elegant French doors to contemporary bifold and multifold doors in an array of colors and materials. Select from high-end, architect-preferred brands like Colby and others. Complement your home and your outdoor vibe with patio doors from Alexander Lumber, 4344 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Welcome back to the gym class on this sunny Friday in Eastern Iowa. Glad you're along with us. Hope you're enjoying TGIF.
TGIF.
And heading for the weekend, the Father's Day weekend, as it is. Actually, I have one more graduation to go to this weekend.
Still?
Yeah.
It's like it's middle of June.
It's my grandson.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. At any rate, we're going to get to our topic. You can weigh in 319-366-1600. We want to hear your most memorable sports moments that you've had with your father. I think a good cross-section of stories will be put forth. Speaking of fathers and sons, you mentioned a story that we didn't get to. That is Luca Garza. Very well documented his relationship with his father, his training partner, and he had a nice accolade go his way, maybe even bigger one in July, huh, Buttons?
Yeah, he was nominated for an ESPY for the best men's college basketball, or best men's college athlete. Period. So that's an amazing award, and looks like Trevor Lawrence is also up for that same award, drafted by the Jaguars. Devontae Smith from Alabama, who got drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't remember the other one. He was a soccer player from Oregon.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's a fantastic nomination.
Yeah, that
just brought out his career.
That program comes up early to mid-July, I think. That'll be one reason to watch the ESPYs, that's for sure. Before we get into our topic, we have a weather update, Buttons, and we throw it to you.
We do. So we were expecting some severe weather last night, and nothing really came of it. And I could give you that whole scientific answer, but it didn't rain. In a story. Tonight, though, south of I-80, there is a threat of large hail and gusty winds. They're saying about 70 miles per hour south of I-80 mainly. Just watch out if you're around the Cedar Rapids area, Shoeyville, somewhere around there.
Or South Gym.
Or South Gym, because there may be a few showers, maybe some wind that come of that.
I don't think anybody likes to hear about wind around these parts.
I know I don't.
For sure.
I know I don't. It's just not a great time.
319-366-1600. At 3:35 on today's edition of the Gym Class, Mark Dukes and Buttons with you for the next 25 or so. We want to hear about most memorable sports moments that you've had with your father. Of course, that's in recognition of Sunday being Father's Day. And as I put forth this question, I recognize that many of you may not have your dad with you anymore, as I don't. My father died 21 years ago, and but despite that sad fact, for many, I think the memories only get richer with time, whether your father is alive or not. And I think that's true with me, and perhaps it is with you as well. But go ahead and give us your most memorable sports moments that you've had with your father. Buttons, you want to bat lead off?
Yeah, I can bat lead off.
Let's do that.
It was probably when I was 18 is when I first went to a Dallas Cowboys game with my dad. And I grew up in a household where you couldn't really use any colorful language because my mom was always there. But then everything changed when I got down to Dallas and I watched my first Cowboys game live. And there were some words that came out of my dad's mouth that I've never heard before.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there was some words that came out of my mouth that I probably shouldn't have said, but we were at an NFL game, so it was all worthwhile.
And how did your mom react?
She wasn't there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a guy's trip. So it was my dad, me, and my brother that drove down to Arlington, Texas. And that was actually the first time that I gambled, too. I got to play a slot machine. It was in Oklahoma.
Great influence your dad is.
Great influence.
I think for a lot of people, it's going to a sports event for that first time, and that's one of the things on my list. I will forever have etched in my mind the first Major League Baseball game. And my dad, actually the whole family went, but my dad engineered this trip to Old Metropolitan Stadium in Minneapolis, and it's a part of the mall up there now. Home plate is in the mall, as many of you know, but first game is in the mid-60s. And, you know, at that time, obviously, you didn't have much TV. Channel 7 carried some Twins games at that time, but they were few and far between. You listened on radio, which is a good thing if you're in that business. By the way, Twins baseball tonight on 107.5 FM. But it was a memorable day. The Twins played a doubleheader against the New York Yankees. Mickey Mantle, Roger Maris. I can still picture Jim Boughton on the mound pitching for the Yankees, and his hat fell off every pitch he delivered. I think Harmon Killebrew hit a home run that day for the Twins. We were sitting down the third baseline. In my mind, couldn't got any better tickets. Stayed at the old Thunderbird Hotel. Maybe it's still there. I don't know. Motel, which is great fun as well. But that first trip with your dad or your family to a big league baseball game or sporting event, I think is probably one of the most memorable for a lot of people. Text coming in now on this topic, most memorable sports moment with your father. 5282, went to a Chiefs-Giants game with my dad. We are big Chiefs fans, and it was both our first times going to Arrowhead Stadium. And we toured the stadium, got pictures on the field. Great time. We'll never forget. Sean from the bus trip has three. Whoops, that's in relationship to the Bears discussion, I'm sorry. 7310, Dad helped me build my first race car in our shop when I was 14.
16.
16 it is.
Yep.
John on the text line. We're not going to read that one because it's related to the Bears, but 9049 on the text line. My dad would always buy me season tickets during the opening years of Hilton. Saw some great players like Harris and Herkel Ivey. It was great. Oh, let's see here.
1577, maybe one of my favorites.
Let's do it. Read it.
My dad took my cousin and I to a Cardinals game. We had to sleep in the car because the PGA was in town as a surprise to us. Side note, Barry Bonds played for the Pirates that day and hit a triple.
Nice.
There we go.
45-70. Mine would be watching the 1970s Super Bowl between the Chiefs and Vikings. We rooted against each other that day as I cheered for the Chiefs. 90-49, talking about most memorable sports moments with your father.
My dad would always buy me season tickets during the opening years of Hilton.
Yes. 90-49, we also met Tony Oliva at the Met. Thanks, Dad. 87-61, my dad was able to take me to Game 5 of the 2016 World Series. That, of course, involving the Cubs. I will always remember that day. Go Cubs. That would be an everlasting memory. There's no question about that.
No question whatsoever.
On my Facebook page, Rick responds, we were playing basketball on the driveway. The ball went over the picket fence into the alley. Dad placed his foot on the 2x4 of the picket fence, but slipped and fell directly onto the picket fence. He stood up and told us to get the basketball, which we did. We came back, and Dad continued to play with us. Ended up, he had broken ribs and a bruised lung. One tough dude. I would say so. Do you have any more buttons? Memories with your father.
Yeah. This was not at a game, but it was at the Colonel Stadium. It was the first time I went to inside the Colonel Stadium, and our class was supposed to take a tour of, you know, locker room and all that fun stuff inside the stadium. And I broke my leg, quote unquote, a week before. My leg really hurt, and the doctor said, oh, he broke it. And then it was reevaluated, and I didn't break it later on. But I was dragged around in a red wagon across the stadium.
How old were you?
Oh, I had to be like 6.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I was just soaking it all up.
You thought you were king of the ball.
Thought I was king of the ballpark. It was a great time.
21-42, I was a pitcher in Little League. My dad kept calling out to the umpire for not calling strikes, instead calling balls too low in the dirt. My dad was thrown out.
My dad was thrown out a couple times.
After that, I forgot to mention I was the Little League pitcher. I was a little Little League pitcher at the time. I have a Little League memory of my father, and it's somewhat painful, but also something we laughed about in the years that followed. I was probably 12, playing in the Cedar Hills Booster Club Little League. My dad was the coach, as many of the dads were. We were taking batting practice on Diamond One at Cherry Hill Park. And I would describe myself as probably a 2 or 3 tool Little League player. I could hit.
There you go.
Couldn't run or lick.
But you could hit.
Didn't hit a lot for power, but I did hit well. I had a good arm. At any rate, we're taking batting practice and against a teammate named Larry Paxton, who was a year older than us, more, one of those guys that matured a little bit earlier than the rest of us. Excuse me, had a good fastball. But I was tattooing him that day. I was hitting it all over the park against Larry. And my dad, standing behind the pitcher's mound, as I learned later, said, Larry, see what he can do with a curveball. Which at 12, I had never seen before. But Larry had one. He threw it. It was headed for my head. And instead of turning away, I had a helmet on. Instead of turning away, as you should, I moved down.
Oh, no.
Right into the path of the ball.
Oh, no.
I don't mean to be gross, but it crushed my nose, broke my nose. Rushed to the doctor, and seems like forever, like 2 hours, 3 hours before they could set it. But that ruined my whole summer. I couldn't play in the Cedar Hills League. I was playing in the City League at the time as well. So my whole season of baseball was gone. But I recovered, of course. And actually, Dad and I laughed about it later. I learned to hit a curveball just a little bit, but I think originally Dad apologized, but later was kind of made fun of me because I couldn't hit a curveball or didn't know how to react when one was coming from my head. So thanks for the memory, Dad. Yeah. Most memorable sports moments with your father, 319-366-1600. Again, I think a lot of folks, their favorite memory is that first ball game, whether it's an Iowa State football game, a Major League Baseball game, and an NFL game, which we've heard from folks. And hopefully more memories can be made this weekend with fathers. If you don't have your father anymore, we're sorry about that. But hopefully you can cherish the memories as we have. Buttons and myself, and we're going to wrap up that topic here and go to our break. And when we come back, we'll have about, 8 or 10 more minutes of the gym class today on this Friday.
Paint? No. Paramount isn't just paint. It's the number one paint in overall interior hide and stain resistance, providing the most advanced protection in just one coat. And now you can get that same outstanding protection with our new Paramount One Coat White. This first-of-its-kind one-coat ready mix white provides a beautiful white finish. You'll find Paramount paint exclusively at Menards. In third-party tests, interior paint claims versus super premium home center brands in eggshell sheen.
Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Savings are a mail-in rebate. See store for details.
G'day, mate. As an Australian, I'm a croc expert. Crikey, get him away from me. I mean crocs, like the footwear. And as a croc expert, I have to say, I like Foamies from Skechers bloody better. Because Foamies have that stylish, trendy look, plus Skechers' world-famous comfort. All for a price that's down under the competition. Skechers is a comfort technology company, and Foamies have comfort innovations your whole family will love. Foamies are ultra-lightweight, water-friendly footwear that are flexible and breathable. Perfect for kicking it by the pool, grilling on the barbie. Or comfy enough to go on a walkabout. Plus, only Foamies come with fits and features like Arch Fit with podiatrist-certified support. And max cushioning that feels like you're walking on big, puffy marshmallows. And Foamies are perfect to keep you cool this summer or warm in the winter. Which is great because it's actually winter in Australia right now. Good on you, Skechers. So get yourself some machine-washable Foamies by Skechers and don't get bit by crocs. He's a mean fella. Find Foamies at Skechers.com, a Skechers store, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to pee at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
That's why Super Beta Prostate is the number one prostate supplement recommended by urologists. You can try a full 30-day bottle free.
Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free.
Call 1-800-485-0282.
Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now.
Call 1-800-485-0282.
Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer.
1-800-485-0282. 1-800-485-0282.
After a quiet summer last year, the Linn County Fair is back with a bang. Get together with all your favorite people at the Linn County Fair. The drinks are cold, the treats are tasty, and there's fun for everyone. Come join us at the fair. June 23rd through 27th. Head to the fairgrounds for the fair's first ever drive-in concert on Wednesday, June 23rd, as Brothers Walker Band hits the stage. Enjoy this free all-ages concert sponsored by Farmers State Bank and Z102.9. Bring your family to the Linn County Fair, located in Central City, just 15 minutes north of Marion, Wednesday, June 23rd through Sunday, June 27th. Thank you to our major sponsors, SPS Inc., Iowa's News Now, CopyWorks, and MediaCom. Get all the details at thelinncountyfair.com. where great memories are made.
Welcome back to the Gym Class on this Friday, 3:51, heading towards the top of the hour. Mark Dukes and Buttons with you today, and appreciate your interaction on our topic today, and happy Father's Day to all those dads out there this coming Sunday. Speaking of dads, Todd Brommelkamp is a dad, and he's going to be giving away, along with Alex Kuhn, a four-pack of tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Colonels take on the Lansing Lugnuts a week from Saturday. Tune in to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Of course, the ballpark now 100% capacity. They've drawn some decent crowds during the week here, and hopefully they can pack them in this weekend. But that four-pack of tickets going to go to one lucky listener between 4 and 6 today. And let's get you updated on the U.S. Open golf tournament being contested in San Diego. The leader continues to be Richard Bland, 48-year-old Englishman, shot 4-under par 67 today, and he is 5-under for the tournament, one clear of Louis Oosthuizen, who is finished, and Russell Henley just getting his round underway. Cedar Rapidian and two-time major champion Zach Johnson will not make the cut. He shot a 2-over par 73 today and is at 6-over for the tournament, the projected cut line right now at plus 4. And former University of Iowa golfer Carson Shockey is nearing the end of his second round. He will not play the weekend either. He is at plus 8 on the day, plus 13 for the tournament. Nevertheless, a terrific experience for Carson Shockey as he embarks and continues on his professional career. Again tonight, Twins baseball playing one of the few teams that have a worse record than they do. The Texas Rangers, the Twins will be in Texas, 6:30 with a start in the pregame, 107.5 FM is where you can catch it. And regrets as well, no NBA action on the KGYM airwaves tonight. But we've got a full weekend of programming on KGYM Radio. Check our website, kgymradio.com. You can get all the programming updates there. As I mentioned at the start, this is the last program, full-time anyway, for Buttons.
Yeah.
He'll actually do his last program in the next couple hours with Todd and Alex. And I just wanted to publicly say, Buttons, it's been a joy. I think you're the fifth or sixth producer that Scott and I have had. And they've left for various reasons. Joanne Hamlin and Kyle Mann and, excuse me, Tyler Chemlin and others always do largely... Most of your work is behind the scenes, and some of it, in my opinion anyway, is underappreciated. And I know Scott and I appreciate, lining up guests and making last-minute calls and doing decisions, pushing buttons like you do today. I don't want to get too gushy or sentimental about it, but I just want you to know that your work has been appreciated, and I'm going to miss working with you.
Yeah, thank you, and I'm really going to miss working with you. It's been a fun job. Before and after the show, is being able to talk to you and Scott. I've learned a lot, not just about the radio industry, but just, Eastern Iowa in general. I really didn't appreciate local sports until I started talking to you guys. And the amount of hard work and dedication that you've spent most of your lives putting into just the area, it's made me really appreciate, where I come from and the people under me that are eventually going to take over whatever Iowa's going to be in the future. So for that, I thank you.
Well, thank you. And are you prepared to reveal what you're going to be doing?
Yeah. starting on Monday, I will be a EMT, going through paramedic classes and be working and serving the community, which has given so much to me. So it's exciting. I told people that I will be back for different events. But in the meantime, that's what I'm going to be doing.
A noble profession. And you've been at it part-time for a while with the fire departments
I've been volunteering since I was a junior in high school. So I've been volunteering on the fire department. And finally, I decided right after the derecho that I needed to make a decision. It's been weighing on me for a long time, and I finally pulled the plug, and it was the scariest decision I've ever had to make. Because I've been doing this for 6-7 years now.
Yeah, but it sounds like it's your passion, and it's a noble profession, that's for sure. And just don't come knocking my house anytime soon, okay?
No problem.
It's like a cat that needs to be rescued or something like that. Do you do that? EMTs do that?
No, and fire departments don't do it either. So before I leave...
You got to live in Mayberry for that to happen, or what?
Right. So before I leave, we get calls all the time about cats stuck in trees. The rule is they got up there, they can usually get down.
I always thought that.
Right. So if you find a cat in a tree, don't worry. It'll come down eventually. You don't need to call 911. Now, if it's been up there for a couple days, maybe call the non-emergency line.
Good advice. But nevertheless, thanks very much. Wish you the best, Buttons. We'll stay in touch.
Of course.
And in a couple hours, you'll be known as Zach Schmitz.
Oh, no, I'll still be known as Buttons. Don't worry.
Okay. Hey, thanks for listening today on The Gym Class. We'll talk to you on Monday.
It's like I blinked and suddenly all my business shifted to e-commerce.